Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You know, I've spent many hours with children who've gotten involved with drugs. They start at your age, even younger.
In March of 1983, at the behest of a sixth grader named Arnold Jackson, First Lady Nancy Reagan visited a classroom at New York City's PS 406 to talk about drugs.
And they're all tragic stories of kids with great potential whose lives were ruined.
But this New York City classroom was actually on a Los Angeles soundstage, and Arnold Jackson was a character played by actor Gary Coleman.
Who talking about Mrs. Reagan?
Well, I happened to be here in New York, and I saw that story about you in the paper, Arnold. You know, I'm very concerned about drug abuse, especially among the young.
Mrs. Reagan was taping an episode of the popular NBC sitcom Different Strokes to promote her Just Say No anti-drug campaign.
In the plot, the series regular Arnold, actor Gary Coleman, gets some help from Mrs. Reagan in his own effort to curb drug abuse among students.
Do you remember when the Nancy Reagan Different Strokes episode aired?
Yes, absolutely, because it was a big deal. I mean, it was definitely like, this is something that we have to talk about.
This is Jessica Shaw. She hosts the Pop Culture Spotlight on Sirius XM Radio and has written about television for decades.
I mean, I'm Gen X. The fact that my parents even knew I existed was like a minor miracle, you know? So the fact that adults were going on our shows, they weren't going on the news, they were going on our shows to reach us, felt different and kind of special.
Very special. Over 32 million people watched The First Lady that night.
Do you remember what your reaction to it was?
I'm sure that I took it kind of earnestly as a child because we weren't cynical like children are now, let's say, in like the 2020s. I think in the 80s, there was a little bit more of like, oh, I need to listen to The First Lady and what she has to say.
Mrs. Reagan, I guess there's something I should say. I've tried drugs a few times.
Thank you. That took as much courage as it did for Arnold to write his story.
This feels like the prototypical very special episode.
Yes. I mean, absolutely.
The Very Special Episode, a mainstay of 1980s and early 1990s television. It often came with a warning to parents that the ordinarily hermetically sealed-off world of your favorite family-friendly series was about to get injected with a dose of the real world.
Tuesday on a very special Full House.
We're starting a special two-part show on a very sensitive and important subject.
We figured we'd talk to you kids and your parents, too, about something that's kind of hard to talk about.
The laughs would still be there, just more muted. It could get awkward.
Well, I got AIDS, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
This was the sitcom itself in an in-between state, experiencing its own, well, growing pains.
What
But never fear, the main characters would remain safe and unchanged, and in the end, all would be back to normal. It just might take more than one episode.
The resolution is a big part of it, and it might not be resolved in 22 minutes because it's a big issue, Mo. It's a big issue, so it might take two whole episodes, which is really enough to unpack, let's see, AIDS, molestation...
Drug use.
They made headlines and big ratings until they were no longer special, just cliched. And then the very special episode was dropped from the schedule. I mean, who needs lessons when you have Seinfeld?
And just saying, basically, there are going to be no very special episodes. That is the very thing that we will never do. I mean, what was the quote? No hugging, no learning?
No hugging, no learning.
From CBS Sunday Morning and iHeart, I'm Mo Rocca, and this is a very special episode of Mobituaries. This Mobit, the death of the very special episode.
Can you speculate on what was the very first very special episode?
I would speculate that it is a Norman Lear show.
That's Jessica Shaw again. I also would have guessed that the very special episode began with the late Norman Lear, but...
we found something even earlier than the Norman Lear era. It is the February 13th, 1960, season 3 episode of Leave It to Beaver. Yes, Leave It to Beaver. And the episode was described as follows. Andy, a neighborhood drunk, is hired to paint the house, and Beaver unwittingly gives him some brandy, which, you know, I had to say at the time must have been like, whoa, what is this?
Let me ask you something, Beaver. Does your father, would he have a little bit of whiskey around?
I'd never seen this before.
First of all, A-plus research.
And it's so kind of surprising to see Jerry Mathers as the Beaver kind of interacting with this alcoholic house painter.
Once my Uncle Billy sent my father a bottle, and it was all wrapped up and it had brandy in it.
Well, that's about what I'm talking about, Beaver.
Of course, Beaver's parents find out and reprimand him. But Big Brother Wally makes the point that Beaver didn't know Andy had a problem. After all, Ward and June Cleaver hadn't told the boys.
You and Mom shouldn't be as scared to tell us things. Somebody's got to tell a guy about all the bad junk in the world.
It's somehow like the writers kind of saying, please, please let us tell stories that have a little bit more grit, that are a little bit more complex.
It also feels like the entire premise of a very special episode is built on that one line.
Yes, as Wally Cleaver put it, somebody's got to tell a guy about all the bad junk in the world. 10 years later, another family sitcom dared to do just that.
Hi, this is Elizabeth Montgomery. Welcome to Bewitched, next on ABC. Tonight's show was created in the true spirit of Christmas.
On Christmas Eve 1970, with Silent Night playing underneath, Elizabeth Montgomery, who played Good Witch Samantha Stevens on Bewitched, spoke directly to viewers ahead of an episode entitled Sisters at Heart.
My friends at Oscar Mayer and Company and I feel it is a very special Bewitched, conceived in the image of innocence and filled with truth.
That's right, she even called the episode very special. That's because the usual bad things that happened on Bewitched involved spells gone awry. But in this instance, magic was used to shine a light on racism.
The girl in the park, she said that Lisa and me weren't the same color, so we couldn't be sisters. She's a big dope.
That's daughter Tabitha, who is white and also a witch. Her new friend Lisa is black. Tabitha ends up using witchcraft so she and Lisa can look more alike. She first turns Lisa white, then turns herself black, then turns the both of them polka dot. Additionally, Samantha puts a spell on her husband's racist client. He starts to see everyone, including himself, as black. And by the end of the episode, he's learned his lesson.
I discovered something about myself. I found out I'm a racist.
A
racist? Oh, not the obvious out in the open type of racist. Not me, no. I was a sneaky racist. I was so sneaky, I didn't even know it myself.
Quick side note, this episode was co-written by a classroom of Black students at Jefferson High School in Los Angeles, making it even more special. But the Beaver and Bewitched episodes were very much exceptions to the rule. The sitcoms of the 1960s were happily stuck in their own fantasy world, completely divorced from the reality of the times. Did divorce even come up? In our Season 2 episode on television's Rural Purge, we talked about the country-themed shows that dominated the airwaves that decade, especially at CBS. On The Beverly Hillbillies and Green Acres, there were no anti-war protests, no racism, since there were rarely Black characters, or political assassinations. And how's this for a metaphor? Petticoat Junction was a show centered around the spur of a railroad that basically went nowhere.
Come ride the little train that is rolling down the tracks to the junction.
Yeah. So. Whereas Norman Lear was like, oh, we're going somewhere.
Right, right. Yeah. This train is actually going to a real place.
Yeah.
My name is Norman Lear.
Norman Lear has changed the face of television. Until 1971, he was a very successful, if largely unheralded, producer-writer in Hollywood. But then he burst upon the public consciousness when he took on bigotry with his All in the Family.
All in the Family starred Carol O'Connor as Archie Bunker, a man who longed for yesteryear, pig-headed and, yes, bigoted, but also surprisingly likable. Every episode was special. The series regularly addressed racism, sexism, anti-Semitism. It featured one of the very first gay characters on television. And no matter the topic, Archie Bunker didn't hold back.
His pal Roger is as queer as a $4 bill, and he knows it.
That's not only cruel, Daddy, that's an outright lie.
You know something, Archie? Just because a guy is sensitive and he's an intellectual and he wears glasses, you make him out a queer. I never said a guy who wears glasses is a queer. A guy who wears glasses is a four eyes. A guy who is a fag is a queer.
So I have to say, and it might be a super unpopular opinion, I'm glad they use that word, that they use that slur, because it's part of what made the show so real.
Yeah, they didn't shy away from anything. Isn't it so interesting that that scene could not air in 2023?
Right, right. The big reveal near the end of that episode is that the person Archie thought was gay is in fact straight, while a pal he had assumed to be straight is actually gay. Huge numbers of people were being introduced to things they were not familiar with. Maybe they didn't even think they knew a gay person.
Yeah, absolutely. I imagine that was eye-opening to them.
Another milestone episode from 1977 was about Archie's wife, Edith, fending off a rapist. It was a two-parter called Edith's 50th Birthday, and I remember it being talked about in hushed tones. I didn't have to be told that it wasn't for kids.
What are you gonna do? You ain't taking off your clothes, are you?
Yeah. Then I'm gonna take yours off.
Wouldn't you like a cup of coffee instead?
Norman Lear became the biggest TV producer of the decade, helping to create an entire universe of sitcoms.
And then there's Maude.
Then there's Maude.
And then there's
On the most famous episode of Maude, the title character, a feminist played by Bea Arthur, became unexpectedly pregnant and had to decide whether she'd carry the child to term.
Mother, listen to me. It's a simple operation now. But when you were growing up, it was illegal. And it was dangerous and it was sinister and you've never gotten over that. Now you tell me that's not true.
It's not true. And you're right. I've never gotten over.
Maude had the abortion. Lear was also the force behind some of the first sitcoms centered around Black characters, including Good Times.
We couldn't help but notice all those bruises on Penny's back.
A 1977 episode featured a young Janet Jackson playing the victim of child abuse.
Oh, those. Penny's at the awkward age. She's always falling down. Isn't that true, dear? Didn't you fall down?
One time I fell out of the tree and I landed on my pussycat and I squished him.
That pussycat sure leads a tough life.
Well, TV shows are certainly a good way to talk about these issues and call people's attention to them in a way that they may not be considering it.
That's Norman Lear from a conversation I had with him back in 2015 for CBS Sunday Morning.
Most people in their own emotionally crowded lives hear about these things, visit it in a short conversation, but their minds are not really there. So I think speaking about it in a comedy where they're even getting laughs about it can only be a good thing.
If you can draw them in with a story, at least you can maybe get them to then talk about it at home.
In the next conversation, they're familiar with it and perhaps a little bit more ready to embrace.
Norman told me that even decades later, he heard from viewers about the impact of his shows.
It's so touching. And we watched it as a family. We don't watch anything as a family now. And we talked about Archie and we talked about the subject matter. And the one thing that I think the show accomplished that I can count on, because I've heard it through all the years, was that they're big words to me. We talked. We looked at the show and we talked.
Think about the things that Norman Lear was able to get away with, quote unquote, get away with talking about. And he was so powerful at that point that I have to imagine that there were, I mean, there was that whole standards and practices department at every network, that there must have been people who pushed back against certain things, lines that he wanted to do, or maybe topics.
There was indeed pushback. To many viewers, shows like Norman Lear's were too candid. Additionally, there was outrage over the 1974 Linda Blair made-for-TV movie Born Innocent, which included graphic sexual violence and aired at 8 p.m. when many children were watching TV. The networks went on defense.
The period from 7 to 9 p.m. is known in television as the family viewing period.
A period during which parents and children are supposed to be able to sit together and watch television without being made to feel uncomfortable. Or so the networks define the family hour.
Which meant that in 1975, shows like All in the Family, which had been airing at 8 p.m. Eastern, had to move to later in the evening.
Let's all sing the 1975 version of Those Were the Days.
The cast recorded a parody of their opening number, mocking the family hour concept and celebrating what their later time slot would allow them to talk about.
Single girls can take a pill.
Robert can propose to Bill.
In court, Lear and other writers and producers challenged the Family Hour. The court ruled that the Family Hour concept was a violation of the First Amendment, but it also said it had no authority to dictate how the networks programmed.
We can show my pregnancy.
And John Boy can have VD.
Plus a quick vasectomy.
9 o'clock. Yeah. These are the days.
The Family Hour wasn't going away anytime soon. On the other side of the break, the 1980s and the heyday of the very special episode.
It was one of those things of like, can we just farm out parenting to this show? Yes, cool. We're super happy with that.
You dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.
Hello, I'm Conrad Bain. Tonight on Different Strokes, we're starting a special two-part show on a very sensitive and important subject.
Different Strokes was one of the biggest hit sitcoms of the early 1980s, airing at 8 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, prime family time. So in February 1983, when Conrad Bain, who played the wealthy adoptive father of Arnold and Willis Jackson, spoke directly to viewers before the episode, you knew it was serious.
Now, we urge families, children and parents alike, to watch both of these informative episodes and then to discuss the problem presented, which is of deep concern to all of us.
He's saying, this is what we're going to show you. Parents, children, sit down and discuss.
This is how America, we do very special episodes. Okay, so this episode was about stranger danger and pedophiles. It's Arnold and his friend Dudley, and they become friends with the owner of a local bicycle shop, Mr. Horton.
You know, guys, you can just have an awful lot of fun with your clothes off. Unless, of course, you live at the North Pole, and they're going to freeze your tush off.
What kind of fun?
Well, for instance, they're skinny dipping.
Mr. Horton gives the kids wine, which is later discovered by Conrad Bain's character. Here, Arnold explains what happened.
Well, while I was there with Dudley, he gave us some pizza and wine.
What else went on there?
He showed us some pictures. Everybody was naked.
Naked?
And he showed us some kinky cartoons.
What do you mean by kinky?
Well, you told me about the birds and the bees, but that's nothing compared to what those mice were doing.
Who was laughing? Who is laughing here?
I know. I think part of the awkwardness is that Gary Coleman was such a star and they couldn't resist having him show his comedic chops. Mm-hmm. And here it is jarring.
I wonder if maybe it's more jarring and if they felt more compelled to make sure the laughs were there because the audience of Different Strokes was a younger audience as opposed to the Lear shows.
Yeah.
Those were smart, smart shows.
Yeah.
And those were smart enough that adults were watching. They right. weren't sort of, here, I'm going to spoon feed a sitcom to a child.
That's Jessica Shaw again. And she's right. This was a younger audience. And this episode did have an impact. Newspapers reported the arrest of at least one suspected child molester in Indiana after a young boy recognized and reported predatory behavior in an adult. Now, it's important to note that the term very special episode was never actually used by programmers. It just sort of became a joke later. So there's no strict definition. I think of it as any episode of a family show where, quote unquote, sensitive subject matter was discussed, whether or not there was an actual warning from Conrad Bain. And probably no show had more very special episodes than Different Strokes. They covered kidnapping, bulimia, drinking. And just 1 month after that Stranger Danger episode came the Nancy Reagan Just Say No episode. The Reagan era became the golden age of very special episodes, and sometimes at the direction of Washington itself. In the case of drugs, the White House wanted to get the Just Say No message out to as many kids as possible. Congress was also applying pressure. Chuck Schumer, then a New York House rep, co-wrote a letter asking networks to devise an intensified campaign of public service announcements and instructive programs. Author Philip Szepanski makes the case that the networks were eager to comply. This was a period of deregulation when the networks stood to get even richer. They wanted to show that they could be responsible programmers without the old rules that forced them to be. So it was a win-win for the government and the networks. Plus, kids learned something, while their parents theoretically received guidance on how to explain, as Wally Cleaver put it, all the bad junk in the world. Here's an elegant transition. AIDS. It's the 80s, so this is right when AIDS emerges, obviously, as a major crisis, and there were very special episodes about it.
Not with Nancy Reagan, I can tell you that much.
Let's go into Mr. Belvedere, a show that I must confess I never saw until now.
That's Belvedere, Lynn Belvedere.
Lynn? That's a girl's name.
Mr. Belvedere is a British butler who works for the Owens family in suburban Pittsburgh. Here he is greeting a friend of youngest child Wesley.
Everyone, you remember Wesley's friend, Danny?
Oh, hi, Danny.
Hi, Mrs. Owens, Mr. Owens.
Hiya, champ. How's it going?
Well, I got AIDS, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
Okay, so it's very direct.
Mm-hmm. And I also think at that point, look at what was going on in the White House. No one was talking about AIDS. So you can bet that families weren't talking about it either.
It's true. President Reagan didn't even mention AIDS in public until 1985, 4 years into the epidemic.
Just having a conversation about this is huge. When you think about what was going on in real life with Ryan White.
Ryan White was a hemophiliac teenager from Kokomo, Indiana, who contracted AIDS through a blood transfusion and was banned from attending school.
It's a story we're hearing more and more often, a story marked by school boycotts and lawsuits, and students like Ryan White banned from school because they have AIDS. Now, you'd think that such a serious issue is not the stuff of which situation comedies are made. But don't tell the folks who work on Mr. Belvedere.
This episode aired in January of 1986, and for a network television family show, it was pretty radical. For the writers, it was personal. They were inspired not only by the case of Ryan White, but also by their very own talent manager's loss. Her 3-year-old son had died from AIDS after a blood transfusion. In the episode's final scene, Wesley stands up for Danny, who was not allowed to participate in a school pageant.
This is Danny O'Neill, and he was supposed to play Lincoln, but he couldn't because he's got AIDS.
Oh. Hey, what are you doing out here?
Dennis, get away from him.
Hey, what's wrong with you people? He's not going to hurt you. Besides, he feels bad enough without everybody trying to make him feel worse.
I have to say, like, I was getting a little emotional. I felt a little burn in my nose watching that scene because adults were horrible. And you hear them in the audience saying, get away from him. And then you hear this next generation saying, no, you're being a nightmare and you're being a bigot. And there's something powerful about that.
And I should point out that the actor who played the boy with AIDS is today a trans woman journalist at Axios and is very, very proud of that episode and
great.
What that episode did.
Yeah, I think it is powerful. And also not to be underestimated how much parenting was farmed out to network television.
The drama of Very Special Episodes, when done right, required more nuanced performances. The best example may be the 1984 Uncle Ned episode of Family Ties. In this scene, the lead character of Alex P. Keaton, played by Michael J. Fox, encounters his alcoholic Uncle Ned in the kitchen in the middle of the night. You'll probably recognize the voice of the actor playing Uncle Ned.
Oh, here we go. Now, it may not be Miller time, but it is vanilla time. Just look at you, kid. Now, remember, don't drive and bake.
I don't believe this. You just drank a whole bottle of vanilla extract.
And so, who is it? Very famous actor.
Tom Hanks as Uncle Ned in, like, by the way, the tightest jeans ever.
Wow, those are tight. Well, first of all, I should know this. Does vanilla extract have alcohol?
I think it does.
Oh, it does. Okay. You know, when I first saw this a couple of years ago, many years after it aired, I thought, oh, I'm going to watch something really, really laughable. But of course, Tom Hanks is so good that he pulls it off.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that line, don't drive and bake, it's a good sitcom line. But yeah, he's so good and he's so funny and he's so charming. This storyline feels organic.
Towards the end of the episode, a drunk Uncle Ned blows a job interview and Alex tries to remind him of his successful past. Then, in a pretty shocking scene, Ned backhands his nephew across the face.
Hey, give me those.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone! What the hell are you doing?
I don't know. I'm sorry. Alex.
The Keaton family gives Ned an ultimatum. Call AA or get out. Ned calls AA, and we never see him again. Like all very special episodes, everything is resolved. 5 years later, a 1989 episode of Growing Pains addressed drinking and driving. Younger sister Carol finds out her boyfriend Sandy was in a car accident. Sandy is played by another soon-to-be-famous actor.
What happened last night?
Well, this big tree ran right out in front of me. And I'm going to be charged with drunk driving.
I don't understand. I mean, it's not like we had that much to drink.
I know. I mean, there've been plenty of times I put away a lot more than that and nothing happened. I guess I just ran out of luck last night.
Are you kidding? I mean, when you think of what could have happened, you were really lucky.
And so that is Tracy Gold, who plays the daughter, Carol, who's an honor student. So she's usually, you know, a goody two shoes, I guess. And that's her boyfriend played by
Matthew Perry.
Right. So it takes on a whole other layer of sadness. Let's see how it resolves.
Carol, Sandy just died.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he said it was just a few minutes ago.
Michael Seaver, that is the sickest joke that I have ever heard. And I am never going to forgive you.
Now, I went earlier and I looked, this is obviously unscientific, but I looked at comments on YouTube. There's no snark. There are all these comments about how powerful this episode was and what a difference it made.
What happened to his second chance? What happened to his second chance?
Yeah, and this is one of the episodes that people look to and they say, oh, this stopped me, or this allowed me to talk to my kid about drunk driving, or this stopped me from having a drink before getting behind a wheel. And I have to say, just the very idea of what happened to his second chance is so profound, and it's so simple. It's nothing. It's one line, you know, and it says everything you want to say, as opposed to some of these other very special episodes that are like, blah, 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 you know, there's so much verbiage there.
Geez, that's such a great point, because this seems to me like the kind of thing a parent tries to impress on a child. And it's really hard to get a child to accept that there's not always a second chance.
Yes, because kids think they're invincible. And so when you hear another kid almost being like, I don't understand. It goes right there, and it's so understandable and relatable.
You were saying a lot of these very special episodes were doing parenting for parents, but here, something that a parent would say to a child is actually dramatized pretty effectively.
And better. In some ways, I think there were conversations that parents should have had with children. I have two kids, two teenagers now, and there are things that they will learn in a way that they will listen to more. Their ears will open more if they hear it from someone their age, if they hear it, you know, coming from culture rather than from their mother. And this is one of those examples.
By the way, you interviewed Matthew Perry, right?
I did, for his memoir. And then watching him play someone who is using alcohol and then who dies, I don't know, it kind of takes your breath away a little.
And, you know, people keep saying it, but in that earlier scene, he is really good.
I mean, he was a good actor. He could deliver a line. He had great timing. And in that moment, you can see that he had the potential to play a little bit of drama too.
Now, a lot of the shows we've been talking about featured suburban white families. But in the 80s and 90s, many millions of viewers were watching black families on The Cosby Show, Family Matters, and The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air.
Okay, so this is a very special episode from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It aired in 1990. Okay, so over 30 years ago, Will Smith's character and his cousin Carlton, the wonderful Alfonso Ribeiro, driving in a fancy car to Palm Springs and getting stopped by a cop.
Vehicle registration, please.
Just a sec. But the thing is, officer, this isn't my car.
Get out of the car, Carlton.
What?
He's going to tell us to get out of the car.
You watch too much TV, Will.
Get out of the car.
Officer, honestly, I don't see the need to.
Hey, get out of the car now.
Okay, so then they're basically booked into a precinct, and then they're released. And then there's this discussion, which is really interesting, between the Will and Carlton characters.
We were detained for a few hours. Dad cleared things up, and we were released. The system works.
I hope you like that system, because you're going to be seeing a whole lot of it during your lifetime.
Not if I bring a map.
You just don't get it, do you? No map is going to save you. And neither is your glee club, or your fancy Bel Air address, or who your daddy is. Because when you're driving in a nice car in a strange neighborhood, none of that matters. They only see one thing.
Just the fact that this is still happening and, you know, could have aired last week and people would have said, oh, this is so timely, is its own tragedy. But it's so fascinating, that scene, and how the writers go right there.
It really is. And part of what's also interesting, and look, there's a kind of subtlety, a sophistication happening between those two characters, right? They don't introduce a white bigot character who has the conversation with Will. Will and his cousin, who's also black, are having this disagreement over it. And somehow it seems to have more impact that way.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's a really interesting scene.
A conversation between two black characters about racism. The very special episode had come a long way since the groundbreaking Bewitched episode of 20 years before. But by the end of the 1990s, the very special episode was dead. What killed it?
I think audiences became kind of too hip to what was going on.
That's next.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at avalonwaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.
Jesse, those pills are dangerous.
Yeah, well, so's geometry.
You told me you were going to stop taking them.
I need them to stay awake and study, okay?
This is Saved by the Bell. This is an episode about caffeine pills. It's sort of like when people don't want to say Kleenex, they say facial tissue. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to use the brand name No Dose here, mm-hmm. right? So instead they're talking about caffeine pills.
It's okay. Everything will be okay. Yeah. I just need one of these.
Pills.
And so this is Elizabeth Berkley's character, Jessie, and she's turned to caffeine pills to keep up with her studies and her new singing group, which is called Hot Sunday.
You mean you really are taking drugs?
I need them.
Jessie, give me those.
I need them back. I have to sing.
Jessie, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Well, first of all, do you think they had to pay for the rights? Did she sing enough of the Pointer Sisters song exactly. that they had to pay for it?
I hope so. They should be paying for something. It's super subtle. I love when she's like digging around. She's like, pills, pills, where are my pills? Like, it's no one ever acted that way about No Dose in their lives.
Exactly. I was a Jolt Cola person if I needed to finish a paper, but I don't remember getting that excited.
To be fair, producers had originally wanted the substance Jessie was taking to be speed, but the network wouldn't allow it. The 1990 caffeine pills episode of Saved by the Bell was so memorable, it was parodied 25 years later on Family Guy.
You actually are taking drugs? Stewie, give me those.
I can't, Zach. I need them to sing. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared. Screech is going to stab someone on Christmas.
But even by 1994, when the movie Reality Bites came out, the very notion that a sitcom bore any meaningful resemblance to real life was sadly bygone.
I just don't understand why things just can't go back to normal at the end of the half hour, like on the Brady Bunch or something.
Well, because Mr. Brady died of AIDS.
And for most kids growing up in the late 90s and early 2000s, Family Hour TV seemed alien.
First of all, the idea that your parents would sanction your TV watching was donezo. Forget about it. I'm watching the show I want to watch for me. You don't need to know what I'm watching. And so that stamp of parental approval of like, we're going to have a conversation that adults are going to spoon feed to you, kind of in your language, but kind of not. There was a generation of kids who were like, no, we don't do that anymore.
Right. I don't need to be introduced to this topic on my favorite sitcom.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And just the entire tone of sitcoms changed.
If there was any one sitcom that marked the death knell for the very special episode...
Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld would come along saying, basically, there are going to be no very special episodes. That is the very thing that we will never do. I mean, what was the quote? No hugging, no learning?
No hugging, no learning. Right. So Seinfeld as a series was a stand against everything that the very special episode stood for.
Yeah. There will be zero issues. And even in the show within the show, that show was also about nothing.
Well, what's the show about?
It's about nothing.
No story?
No, forget the story.
You gotta have a story.
Who says you gotta have a story? Remember when we were waiting for that table in that Chinese restaurant that time? That could be a TV show.
How many levels of smart?
I mean, it's just, funny. It's so, so great. And thank God, I mean, truly, can you imagine if they tried to tackle an issue?
Of course, plenty of new series did take on topics that were new to sitcoms. But instead of these being handled by ancillary characters in one-off episodes, they became part of the fabric of the series itself. Take Will and Grace. What decades earlier might have been a very special episode about an out gay man living with his straight female best friend became an entire series. On the show Black-ish, creator Kenya Barris wove into the comedy issues as serious as police brutality and the use of the N-word. Not surprisingly, he cited Norman Lear as a major influence.
Yeah, or even a show like My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I mean, talking about mental health, forget it. I mean, can you imagine a sitcom in the 80s talking about mental health? No, that wouldn't happen.
Today, the term very special episode is so bygone, it's quaint, used almost endearingly here on the ABC sitcom Abbott Elementary.
Okay, if you guys are finished with this very special episode.
The very special episode could be pretty corny. And let's face it, there's only so much any kind of sitcom can do to address some real-world problems. When Quinta Brunson, the creator and star of Abbott Elementary, was asked by fans to consider a school shooting storyline, she suggested they use that energy to demand more from lawmakers. And yet, there's also something to be said about a time when families were more likely to watch together and maybe even learn together. As Norman Lear told me about that time, we talked, we looked at the show, and we talked. He's right. We may have laughed, we may have disagreed, we may have cringed, but at least we talked.
With the exception of the Jesse Saved by the Bell caffeine pill freakout, I found myself looking at a lot of these scenes and, I don't know, being kind of moved by them. Like the good times, the Mr. Belvedere.
Growing pains. I mean, that scene. Yeah. And Tracy Gold is really good in that scene. I agree with you. They're intense and they're dealing with complex and profound feeling.
In the best way that they can in that format.
Yes. And in a way that somehow works.
And of course, not all sitcoms had very special episodes. There was never a very special episode of Three's Company.
Right. Yes.
I mean, what would that have been about? Like about rent control?
I feel like something could have happened with the Ropers.
Oh, that
was a very special episode waiting to happen.
A Moo accident.
Definitely. For sure. It was flammable and the house burned down. Yes.
Right.
Let's explore homelessness.
I certainly hope you enjoyed this mobituary. May I ask you to please rate and review our podcast? You can also follow Mobituaries on Facebook and Instagram. And you can follow me on the social media platform formerly known as Twitter, at Moraka. Hear all new episodes of Mobituaries every Wednesday wherever you get your podcasts. And check out Mobituaries, Great Lives Worth Reliving, the New York Times best-selling book, now available in paperback and audiobook. It includes plenty of stories not in the podcast. This episode of Mobituaries was produced by Liz Sanchez. Our team of producers also includes Zoe Culkin and me, Mo Rocca, with engineering by Josh Hahn. Our theme music is written by Daniel Hart. Our archival producer is Jamie Benson. Mobituaries production company is Neon Hum Media. Indispensable support from Alan Pang and everyone at CBS News Radio. Special thanks to Steve Razies, Rand Morrison, and Alberto Robina, as well as the authors of the book Very Special Episodes, Televising Industrial and Social Change. Executive producers for Mobituaries include Megan Marcus, Jonathan Hirsch, and Mo Rocca. The series is created by yours truly.
You dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at AvalonWaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.